Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And welcome, everybody. Another edition of Ask the Medical Expert. Jay Oliver here, your host. And that's when we talk to personnel out of the great PBMC, Peconic Bay Medical Center, and get their expertise on their various categories. And today, no different. We look forward to speaking right now with Dr. David Florio. He's a pediatrician over at the great PBMC. We say hello, and we say a very happy new year. Sir, how are you?
Good. I'm very, very good. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here, Doc. You joined PBMC recently, I do believe, along with your wife, Dr. Nima. Is that true?
Yes. My wife and I, my wife is an internist, so she handles the adult side of things. And we both joined a couple months ago, moved out here from Colorado.
What's that like as far as keeping medicine in the family and everything else here?
I mean, it's good. It's got its pros and cons, but it's great. We don't always get a chance to discuss details of patients or anything, but we do have a little bit of a crossover. When I see patients up to around 21, and she sees kids as young as 18, so it's good that we get a chance to kind of compare notes and brainstorm a little bit on those fronts.
Good stuff. Let's get into a couple of things. COVID-19 right now. Parents, kids, what do we need to know about the virus, especially, and how it can impact kids right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously the million-dollar question. So it's, first and foremost, it's a very real threat still. And, each day it's, we're having new death total highs every day going forward. The fortunate thing with children is they seem to do quite well with the virus, thank God. The unfortunate thing is the numbers are probably a little bit underreported because, not every kid is being rushed in for COVID testing. But in regards to pediatrics, one of the main things that people aren't really talking about is the mental health aspect of it. Kids need routine, they need structure, they need socialization. So there's a lot of kids that are, mimicking illnesses just out of fear and stress. They see their parents and families going through. They need to get back to school. They need to be around other kids. And this social isolation is really tough. And, we honestly don't know long-term ramifications right now.
It's, a mental health capacity right now. We got to keep a look on all fronts, no question. What about the vaccine itself? We got so much vaccine talk every day. You got two, you got a third vaccine that'll be coming away. Who knows, maybe a fourth, Johnson & Johnson. They've got something. Exactly. So much going on here. What do we know right now about the COVID vaccine and whether it's suitable for children, especially under 16.
Yeah, so the just to be blunt, there aren't enough studies for kids under the age of 16 right now, but they are, starting. I know Pfizer and Moderna have both started some phase 2 trials with children. That was one of the biggest things that the AAP was a little frustrated about, that kids weren't included in the initial trials. But that should be, going forward, hopefully we can get some results over the next 6 to 9 months. But in regards to safety and the vaccine itself, it's actually, I hope the listeners, bear with me because it's a little bit of technical jargon. But the vaccine it's a very interesting one because it's not like the typical vaccines you get at the doctor's office. So it's what we call an mRNA vaccine. It's messenger RNA. So what that does is it takes a copy of DNA. It's kind of like building a recipe. And what that does is it leaves the nucleus of a cell, and then it gets transcribed, and it produces a protein. What this vaccine does is it actually takes the mRNA instead of the viral protein, attenuated vaccine, stuff like that. So it'll inject that in, and our body actually uses the copy of the recipe to produce what we call a spike protein. That is a protein that sits on the outside part of a viral cell. So the body sees that. It's kind of like a red flag. You produce antibodies, and then going forward, your body is prepared for when it sees that said spike protein to actually fight it off. So So the beauty of this is it's not actually introducing viral particles. It's more of just introducing a recipe for a red flag of the viral particle itself.
Wow. Very intricate situation there regarding that. What about, and as we're on the topic of vaccinations, what would you say to parents out there about the importance of receiving them, especially if they're scheduled time?
Sure. That's a very, hot topic these days. First and foremost, when these vaccine schedules were put into place, they were done so by, people much smarter than I am, to be completely honest. They were done with studies and trials, and, that's what we know to work. That's what we know from a time standpoint. What we don't know is if there is any benefit from doing them spaced out. We do know there are risks to spacing out vaccines because a lot of these vaccines require multiple. And, it's kind of like when you're trying to fill up a water jug and you let it run dry, you're trying to keep it at a certain level. And if you don't have a steady flow, you're going to kind of miss your mark. So when people space out vaccines, not only do they end up getting more doctor's visits, which in today's day and age is not ideal, but they tend to get more vaccines on average. But some of them are supposed to be given when they're scheduled. So it's a hot button topic, and unfortunately, social media has a lot to do with it. I'm not going to, lie and say that there's never been side effects reported with vaccines. That's just, naive to say, but the risk of getting a reaction to a vaccine is much lower than, the risk of catching a severe illness and having severe ramifications.
There you go. We're in the midst of talking here with Dr. David Florio. He is pediatrician at the Conic Bay Medical Center. We'll squeeze in one more, Doc,
sure,
before we take a short break. And on the subject of being a pediatrician, obviously kids, should children, in your opinion, get a flu vaccine every year? What's your stance on that?
So my stance is yes. I've had a lot of in-depth conversations with parents over the years, in regards to allergies, in regards to, my family is just magically healthier than other families and what have you. The truth of the matter is, the flu vaccine is made up of, it's some of it's very educated guesswork, you take components of previous year's flu and what they believe the new flu, so to speak, is going to be. You always hear in the news the success rate is, obviously not ideal, like 15-20%, what have you. But what people don't realize is when you get a influenza vaccination, it triggers things in your immune system like cytokines and messenger cells. And all that stuff does is builds up your immunity. So when something actually happens, you're ready to fight it off. I tell my patients' parents that getting the influenza vaccine, is not going to prevent you from getting the flu, but it will certainly help you fighting it off if you do get it. So that's where I try to, drive the nail in, because that's why it's important in my opinion.
And especially, when you think about it, right? Because if COVID weren't here, this would be strictly called flu season. But right now, yep, you kind of have that double-edged sword going, where you have COVID to worry about and you got flu. And a lot of people say, well, flu's down. Well, why is flu down? I mean, you could agree to this, the fact that, flu is down. We're washing our hands now because, yep, it's emblazoned in our brains over the last 9-10 months. Not only that, we're masking up. So we know flu pretty much is transmitted in the same type of way through nasal cavity and everything else, particles. So in essence, when you think about it, we have finally got it that if we do wash our hands, if we do mask up, if we can distance where we can, guess what? We're going to ward ourselves off of some of these viruses out there. So, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, right, in the fact that we're doing all this stuff, when you think about it.
And, I mean, it's a great thing, because flu is down. Last time I checked, it was 40-50% roughly. And you're right. All this, preventative treatment and what people are doing is fantastic. And it shows, influenza is down. What I find concerning is that COVID is not. And I know there has not been anything definitive about whether or not there is some form of airborne transmission versus strictly droplet transmission. The difference being that airborne transmission is more like tuberculosis, where you it lingers in the air and particles linger for a lot longer and they get spread in further distances. That's why you have like negative pressure rooms when people have TB. They say that's not involved, and I trust them, but it just makes you wonder.
Certainly does, no question about it. One thing we don't have to wonder, and that is taking up our second half of this segment in conversation, as far as the medical expert is concerned. We're talking to just that right now, enjoying it, with Dr. David Florio, a pediatrician over at the famed Deconic Bay Medical Center. And we will do just that, continue right after these short messages. Talking with Dr. David Florio. He's a pediatrician at the Deconic Bay Medical Center. Jay Alva here again. Listening, you are to another edition of Ask the Medical Expert. We're talking about an array of topics, COVID to kids to flu, vaccinations, you name it. As Dr. Florio joining the PBMC along with his wife, Dr. Nima Florio, she an internal medicine physician. So a duo of medical experience coming at you there in Riverhead. Doc, let's pick up a little bit. Are there, I'm switching gears somewhat here a little bit. Are there any pediatric medical issues that you think parents and kids need to be a little more aware of or take a little more seriously these days?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, personally, I think mental health is something that's it's starting to gain steam these days, but, you know, growing up, it was not something that was dutifully addressed. I think, you know, just from what I've seen since I've been practicing and, you know, and in both personal relationships as well, you know, friends, family, mental health is something that if it's not addressed, it's not discussed, it's just going to fester. And, you know, you could even, obviously don't even worry about being physically healthy because, you know, not a healthy mind, you're not going to have a healthy body. So the problem is getting over a lot of the social stigmas. Because let's be honest, especially in today's day and age, we all have stress, we all have anxiety. I'm not saying everyone needs to be on medication, but it's stuff that needs to be discussed. You know, when it comes to kids with all this social isolation, I think social media is something that needs to be treated very carefully because, you know, I mean, I dealt with bullying growing up and what have you, most of us have. With social media, there's really no sanctuary for kids, if you will, anymore. You know, they come home and, you know, at the touch of a button, they could be getting harassed for all you know. So it's important to kind of monitor that as a parent and, you know, find places of respite for kids.
Yeah, that's a good point, no question about it, especially with the isolation and everything else. You know, it's a real deal there. There's no question, especially, you know, when you think about kids are pretty much, you know, in so many ways, different intervals of a school year. Will be at home, already at home in a many case. What do you think are the good ways for them to kind of, you know, we talk about exercise, how important it is to move, sure, not just sit in front of a TV set and play,
yep,
PlayStation, whatever. What about some of the good ways for them to get some of that exercise, especially during winter months in general?
Sure. No, it's a great question, you know, because, you know, not everyone has yards and space to run around. So, I always think of what my dad used to do when I was a kid because I remember we'd be watching the Rangers or the Yankees or whatnot, and, you know, a commercial would come on and be like, you know, go run up and get this and this, I'll time you. And the whole I'll time you, I was so competitive that I tried to do it as fast as I could. So he had me running around the house without me even realizing it. You know, that's something that could be implemented these days. You know, when you're, it really needs to be a family thing, you know. Parents need to involve kids, and even if it's household chores, you know, you could be folding laundry and then say, all right, everyone, you know, do 10 jumping jacks. You could do a scavenger hunt of sorts, you know, bring me something blue or, you know, find me this article of clothing and you know, make it fun. Other things I've seen done are, you know, you can put pieces of paper in a jar and everyone, you know, including the parents, pick it out. And, you know, there could be a list of exercises on there and you all do it as a family. making it fun and doing it collectively is a good way to kind of take the sting out of it, so to speak. So I think those are all good ways to challenge, you know, to get over this hump while we're all isolated.
And you got to keep moving. It's always been told to me, keep moving, keep moving. ailments that you treat as a pediatrician. Now, you know, we figure respiratory, ear infection. What are some of the other common ones that you see as a pediatrician with kids?
Sure. So, I mean, it really is, you know, a lot of it's age dependent. You know, in the first year of life, a lot of it is, you know, weight issues, feeding, stooling, a lot of rashes, and, you know, just kind of getting through that first year with parental adjustment and, you know, sleep training, all that. Allergies, asthma, ear infections, obviously, strep throats, all that good jazz. You know, kids under the age of two during the winter months, in the fall months, a lot of them can come down with bronchiolitis, which is kind of a moderate to potentially severe respiratory illness. So that's one that we, you know, I see quite a bit. And then obviously you throw in the mental health and kids come in with, you know, other issues like ADHD and depression, anxiety, and then obviously the physicals and the bread and butter stuff of pediatrics.
There you go. And, you know, you mentioned obesity. You know, one of the things I see in and around, whether or listen, there's not a lot of people anymore at the malls, but, you know, you go to the supermarket, you see kids with their parents, and I see a lot of kids that are overweight, and it's even, of course, I think it's because we talked about exercise before, moving. Kids aren't moving. They're stationed in their house. They're not parked. They, you know, tend to be more scary these days. And that's a big problem right now with kids I see. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can absolutely say that. I mean, and a lot of it has to do with the electronics. You know, that's why it's important to limit them and put a timer on them, so to speak. You know, kids shouldn't be sitting in front of the TV for hours on end. You know, and dietary modification is a big thing. And the only way it's really successful is when the parents buy in. You know, I know it's stressful, and a lot of times, and as a parent of two young kids, I've learned a lot over the last couple of years and been quite humbled, to be honest, because it's not always by the book answers. You know, sometimes you got to give your kid an iPad with Daniel Tiger on it. I get it. But the trick of it is not to make it habitual. You really need to implement better, you know, healthier strategies in life, because childhood obesity, from what we're seeing, is a huge risk factor for adult obesity. It's not just, oh, they'll grow out of it, you know, when they hit puberty or anything. These are the habits that kids take with them, and then they replicate the habits that their parents, you know, are exhibiting. So it's not just on the children, you know, it's really more on the parents.
Man, no doubt about it. Dr. David Florio with us. He a leading pediatrician at Conte Bay Medical Center. What about physicals? You know we have to, as adults, get a physical every year. What about kids? Is it important for them to do it annually as well?
It is. I mean, you know, a lot of people may disagree, but, you know, a little conjecture, but a lot of times when, you know, at previous jobs, when I've seen kids that, you know, haven't been seen before, or, you know, haven't been seen in a couple of years, you find things, you know, your body changes. A lot of stuff can happen in a year, as we've seen in 2020. You know, it also gives me a chance to kind of assess the family's, you know, well-being. You know, is there a lot of stress? Is there any financial hardships? You know, food insecurity. It's not just about, you know, growth and weight and stuff like that. There's a lot more that, you know, we try to do at a yearly physical. And physical exams are a huge part of it, because sometimes, you know, people miss things. And you really need to do thorough exams and kind of assess and see what changes in the body and what you need to do to implement to make sure the children are staying healthy.
No question. And it's the same as an adult, folks. You know, it's changes happen in the body, you know, you got to stay on top of it, unfortunately. But it's the way it is. It's the way we kind of function as human beings, you know. You know, finally, Doc, you know, I always like to know about how one enters the field in which they preside over. You as a pediatrician, you decided that was going to be a specialty. Take me back in time a little bit. How did you decide to get into that area? What was the impetus overall? Was it a young kid? Is it something, you know, as you grew up in school and whatnot? How did you get into the world of pediatrics?
So, to be honest, I had no interest in becoming a doctor. I wanted to be in sports, and that was about it. I was terrified of blood as a kid, so you know, for all you kids out there that are afraid of blood and needles, it can change and it can go away. So don't rule out medicine. Well, to be honest, out of school, I was working. I had a financial job in Manhattan for a few years, and I was an econ major. And you know, I remember sitting at my cubicle and just thinking, is this going to be the next 20, 30 years of my life? And, you know, a lot of cliche reasons, Jay, to be honest. But when it boils down to it, you know, I always enjoyed, I used to do some coaching and training and stuff like that back when I was younger. And I always enjoyed kids. They were the only not jaded beings around. So I thought, you know, it's always good to fight for the little guy. So, you know, that was pretty much the reason I changed careers and went into PE.
How about that? Where'd you go to school?
So I went to undergrad at James Madison University down in Harrisburg, Virginia. And then I did some post-bac stuff at different colleges in the city while I was working, like Pace, and ended up at Stony Brook. And then I went to St. George's University for medical school, which was where I met my wife. You know, we were in Grenada for 2 years, and then the next 2 years we were in Brooklyn where we did our clinical training. And then we went to we did our residency invited in North Carolina, and then after that we moved to Colorado, and now we're here.
Boy, I tell you, you made the trek. Good to have you locally, though. The fantastic place at the Peconic Bay Medical Center. That's right, Dr. Florio. It's been a pleasure. Really has.
Likewise.
Yeah, pediatrician, folks, Peconic Bay Medical Center. Doc, thanks so much. Happy New Year to you.
You too. Happy New Year. Stay safe.
You got it. We'll see you again next week, ladies and gentlemen. Another edition of Ask the Medical Experts. Jay Oliver, have a wonderful rest of your day.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.